Take your Bibles and go to Hebrews, please. Chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. There's nothing more that I can do. Jesus paid it all. I love that song. I love the words that are in it. And I like the fact that you get to... I like that in the fellowship. I really do. But I think about those words and... There's nothing more that I can do. In Jesus Christ, I'm going to talk about our identification with Him. And in this teaching, what I am praying and reminding you of, because you've heard this before, what I'm reminding you of is that Jesus Christ is our complete Savior. What He did for each and every one of us, we could not do for ourselves. There's no way we could save ourselves. There's no way we could have cleansed ourselves. There's no way we could have done anything ourselves, because we were dead in trespasses and sins. And I do not believe that most people can let that resonate in their heart to the degree it needs to be. So, in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, verse 9, it says, "For we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." But we see Jesus, all right? How do we see him? It says, "For he was made a little lower than the angels." He was a man. He was a human being, made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. The reason that he was sent and that he came as a man, God sent him, was so that he could suffer, pay this price for you and me. But we also don't just see him suffering on the cross, because God raised him from the dead. We also see him as an individual who has been crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death For, you know what that word for? For, in the place of, for you and me, for every man. He sacrificed himself, the Son of God, the Lamb of God. He came, he fulfilled his mission for his Father, he tasted death for every one of us. And we know him, he suffered, but we also got to realize that he is crowned with glory and honor. You got to picture this both in your head and heart. And he came, in verse 10 it says, "For it became him." It became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, to bring many sons unto glory. He did all of this so that he could bring many sons unto glory. You got Christ in you, which is your hope of glory. Now you think about this word glory here. This is a cool word. Glory. Think about it. Let it sit. Your destination and all of those who believe on him is glory. Eternal glory. Jimmy, that beautiful song he sang, one of those lines was, you know, the sufferings of this present day are not worthy, you know, to be considered compared to the glory that is coming. I know he messed up his song, but you get the point in the scriptures, right? You're going to glory. This life, is it getting a little crazy? Is it getting crazier? It's more evil, more confusing, more dysfunctional probably than it has been for many years. Nothing new here. The Roman Empire wasn't any more functional. The Greek Empire wasn't any more functional. Nothing's more, you know, it just goes through the cycle. The more people lose God in their life, the more things run downhill, like a snowball running to hell. That was an old country song. I think Merle did that one. Your snowball running to hell. But the more you and I put on God's word, the more we keep him in our heart, in our mind, the more we focus on what we have coming and what he has accomplished and done for us, glory. You can't have a bad day if you think your destination is glory. You follow me? You can't have a bad day. I'm sorry. Now, if you deeply think about this, now, if you don't want to, that's up to you. Watch TV. You know, zone out on the Mets or something. But focus on what he's done. He came so that he could bring many sons unto glory. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. This was all God's plan. God is the one who asked him to give his life. God is the one who raised him from the dead and crowned him with glory and honor. God is the one who set so he could get many sons to glory. And you can keep your ribbon there or finger or whatever if you feel like it. And just go to 1 Corinthians here for a minute, chapter 15. This glory is talked about all throughout the scriptures. Chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. Verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. Your body, like I said to you before, in Colossians it says 1:27, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know what your glory starts with? The resurrection. New body, new mind, immortal, never die again. Always be with your Lord and your God. Forever. Not for a few years. You know, happy birthday to me. I'll be, 67 tomorrow. This is a few years. It's gone by really quick. 67 years. You know, our church has been around, since 1995? That's just a few years. It's a lifetime of... I've been in... Mary and I... are going to be married on October 19th, 45 years. It's just a few years. I mean, it's our lifetime, but it's just a few years. Glory is forever. And whatever you and I got to put up with in this life, it is well worth it to stay faithful for the glory that's going to be ours. It's raised in glory. Verse 43, second part. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Adam, our relative, is our father of humanity, right? The reason that Christ had to come and die for each and every one of us is because of what he did. What he and his wife Eve did. By the way, God always refers to Adam and Eve as Adam, man. Adam was the one who named his wife Eve. God, as far as he's concerned, mankind is mankind, male and female. Because I always know people like this saying, well, Eve tricked them into doing it. It don't matter. Because of the sin of man, Adam, death came into the world. They're both guilty of it. It didn't cost you nothing. I just threw it in there. Go back to Hebrews. Oh, no, actually, go to, I'd like you to go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. See, this is what's been on the heart and mind of all of the individuals who have walked with God, is this hope that we have before us, this glory that's coming. This is what you got to keep in your soul. You know, because if you miss this, then you take your focus off of what's coming, then you get all kinds of emotional roller coaster, depressed, oh, it's not worth it, you quit, you go back to drinking, you go back to doing whatever you were doing before. If you lose the hope in your heart, then you don't have the strength to continue. Plain and simple. It says in chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, it says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. He saw the Lord suffer, but he knows that he is a partaker of this glory that's going to be revealed in us. That day of the resurrection, it starts, it commences, and it never quits. And now go back to Hebrews, if you would. Chapter 2. Our Lord did this for God sent him, and he did it for every man. That includes every unbeliever that's out there. You and I, once upon a time, were unbelievers. Like every man. They're all paid for. They're all paid for. Not all of them are going to enjoy eternity, but they are all paid for. They still have to choose to do what we're going to read here. Verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. God Almighty sent this captain of salvation so that he could have many sons. Verse 11, for both he that sanctified and they that are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Now I want you to let that verse sink. Okay? For he that sanctified, who is the one who sanctified us? Jesus Christ. And they that are sanctified, who are you that are sanctified? Raise your hands, right? Kenny, raise your hand. You're not dead yet. Okay? I can pick on Kenny. He wouldn't get his feelings hurt. Are you sanctified?
Yes.
Do you know what sanctification means? You are set apart. You've been placed from here. Now you're set apart for God's kingdom. He sets you apart. You are no longer a part of this world. You and I are set apart. He that sanctified and those that are sanctified. Now, did he do the job? Is there any doubt in your mind that Jesus did the complete and absolute job?
No.
Any doubt?
No.
Then you are what?
Sanctified.
Then do you believe it?
Yes.
You better, because this is your part. He already died. He paid it. It's done. You are set apart. The difference between those who walk spiritually and those who just walk intellectually in Christianity is faith. You can read the words and say, yeah, that's true, it's in the Bible. I don't feel like it. I don't care what you feel like. I don't care if your big toe hurts. I don't care what you feel like. This is true. It's true. You have to tell yourself, I am the Lord's. I have been set apart for glory. I have been set apart for glory. It's been paid for. It has been paid for. Verse, it says here that they are all one. This is an awful lot in this verse 11. Jesus Christ did the complete, absolute job. You couldn't save yourself. You couldn't set yourself apart to God. He did this whole thing. And you are sanctified for the purpose and are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call you brethren. Think about this. Put it into your soul. Your Lord and Savior, Jesus, the Christ, died for you so that you could be one with him. And he is proud. That's how I look at this. That's how I read it. He's proud to know that you're his brethren. He's not ashamed. He's not ashamed to call you, Jimmy. He's not ashamed to call you, Orlando. This is my brother. This is my family. Never be ashamed of him. Never treat him in any except. You sit this in your soul. Christ is family. He is our big brother. I don't think that that's a term that is, if you think about it the way he's talking. He came, he bled, he died, he gave his life, he sanctified us, because he is the one who is set apart. He is the Holy One. He's the one that never sinned. He was the one that was innocent, never did anything against the Father, and he sanctified us. And he made us one. Remember in John chapter 14, it says, in that day, when the day of Pentecost comes, in that day you will know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. He said in the parable of the vine, in John chapter 15, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. As long as you abide in me and I in you, then you'll have fruit. He's not ashamed of us. He died for us. He wants to call you family. Do you think of him that way? That's what, see, his issue, he's got no issue. He did this for you and for me. He did this for every person on the earth. But they have to accept what he did. They have to believe that it was done for them. There's the difference. This is our responsibility. That kind of faith. That kind of faith. And then he says here, saying, I will declare, this is an Old Testament quote, comes in right after this. I'm not ashamed to call them brethren. Verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. The Lord's going to, he declared the Father's name to us. In the midst of the churches, I will sing praises unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death. That is the devil. He is going to, this day is going to come. It's going to happen. But he's declared the Father to us. He's praising the Lord with us and with the children that God has given. You and I. You. And there's a day coming when the evil will be done. And he's delivered them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject unto bondage. See, I'm not looking forward to dying. I know I will one day, but I don't fear it. Because I know exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to close my eyes, and the next thing I am going to know is glory. Might be 1,000 years from now, but it's not going to seem like a twinkling of an eye to me. How can this, other people who don't know the Lord and they don't know God, they don't believe his word, they don't understand it, they're afraid. Terribly, terribly, terribly afraid. And that's a shame. We got the ability to let them know. You got the ability to pick up the Bible and read this chapter 2 and put it in your soul. You have been set apart. There's no doubt here. There's no option. You've been set apart if you believe the gospel. Sink it in your soul. Because God wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. All men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. Every single one is invited to this wedding. Remember the parable, the wedding? You know, the great king, he invited all the guests and they all decided, I don't want to come. So he said, go out into the streets and the by, go down to the junkyard. You get all the homeless and you invite them. And then he dressed them. Because the people who were bid to the wedding refused to come. And there was one guy there who didn't want to wear the clothes. So he said, you get out too. You don't want Christ and what he's done for you? You're done too. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's really super important to understand what Christ has done. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's very important. I have a book here that I think is very, I think you all ought to get it. I don't know the man personally, David Berge, but I know his wife. She was a little girl out here on Long Island. Mary McSherry was her name. But she married this guy. And I want to tell you something. Regardless, this man wrote this book, Jesus Christ, Our Complete Offering, how the Levitical offering foreshadows Christ. He makes it very simple, very beautiful. You don't talk over your head. It's a very good piece of work. It explains much of how the Old Testament was fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the sacrifices were fulfilled. And you can get it on Amazon. All right? So you come up and look at it, write it down if you want later on. That's where part of the inspiration of this teaching came from. But, and it's just a great piece of work. Go to 2 Corinthians, I told you, chapter 5, verse 21. It says, for he hath made, God hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. It's a bad translation. He made him a sin offering for us. When I went to Catholic school and I was a young kid, I went and there was a teaching in the church one morning that really horrified me. And that was the priest was telling me how Jesus became sin. And God didn't like him. And therefore he left him. And Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And I remember hearing that teaching from the priest that morning. And I thought to myself, my God, that is just the most horrific. Because if God left Jesus on the cross because he sinned, what is he going to do with me? I mean, it's exactly what went through my head. And that was it for me. I was done because I didn't have a prayer. And it's just such a devilish teaching. And I say it because I heard it. And it really affected me in a bad way. It says, for he, God, made him to be sin, a sin offering for us, who knew no sin. He made him who knew no sin to be that sin offering. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. During this time of year, September through October, are some of the great Jewish holiday feasts. Rosh Hashanah, the Day of Atonement, and these great things that God put in his word. Rosh Hashanah, and this, by the way, September 11th was the Lord's birthday. Right? 3 B.C. September 11, 3 B.C., Lord's birthday. There's so much packed into these months. The Day of Atonement is one of the holiest days of the year. It's also one of the most mournful. That Day of Atonement, God had the people take two lambs, right? Two goats. And one was sacrificed, and the blood, the high priest took it into the Holy of Holies, and this happened once a year to cleanse all the people of Israel for their sins. An innocent animal was sacrificed, and the other was they placed their hands on the top of the goat, and it's called the scapegoat. And it was led out to go into the wilderness and die on its own. Identification is nothing new. It's been through the Old Testament forever. You would take, the priest would take his hands and put it on the animal. He would take your sins, my sins, and place it on the animal. The animal died because you sinned. He transferred. This is what this is talking about. He transferred to that innocent animal the sins of the people. And it was killed. And his blood paid for the sins of the people. And the innocence of that animal was transferred to the people. It was a double transfer. This happened quite often through many of the sacrifices that were done. Christ died, the innocent one. The Holy One died for you. He became the sin offering. He was the Lamb of God, which would take away the sins of the world. And God gave him his life to take upon him the sins of all the people, the iniquity of all the people. And I'm not just talking about you and I and our little sins. All of mankind since Adam. Adam's sin. The one who truly sinned against God. Who sold you and I out. Who caused you and I to live a short life and die. That original sin. And all of ours. Was transferred to him. And you know what was transferred to you and I? It says here, he knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We got his righteousness. He took my sins and he gave me his righteousness. He took my death and he gave me life. He took my uncleanness and he made me pure. He took my guilt and he justified me. And he justified you. This was pictured in the Old Testament. It was given as a picture, a tutorial of what God would have to do when the Messiah came. But you got to understand it. You got to see it in your heart. You got to believe it in your soul. Otherwise, I feel real good about, my walk with God right this second, and then 2 hours from now, when somebody steps on your toe or cuts you off in the car, or you're right back where you started from. Some yelling, fanatical creep. Right? Happens to all of us, doesn't it? No, not you, Connie, I know. Yeah. No, Connie's a good girl. Nah, we are all subject to this. Do you understand? When that our Lord died for us on the cross, when he said, "It is finished," he took upon himself the iniquity of us all. And he gave to anyone who will believe what he did. Righteousness, justification, sanctification, everything, purity, holiness. You belong, you went from being condemned to hell to sons of the living God, and your destination is glory. And when they talk about it throughout the scriptures, like go to Romans. Romans chapter 6. Now you can understand some of the words that are used here and why it says what it says. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, therefore we are buried with him. What are you talking about? Now, it's sort of funny, isn't it? If you picked up the Bible for the first time in your life and you picked up Romans 6, and it says you are buried with him. You've been buried with him by baptism unto death. Now, I know that a lot of people think this is water. They like that word baptism for water. It's not. Just wait a minute. I'll get to the next verse and I'll prove it to you. But stay with the point here. Therefore, we are buried with him. When he was buried, we were buried by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so shall we also, we also shall walk in newness of life. God raised him from the dead, and you and I have a new life. Newness of life now because of that resurrection. We got Christ in us. Wherefore, if we have been planted, and I love this because it tells you that this is not talking about water in the first. You know, I'm going to plant you. That means you're going to bury them, right? It's an old expression. I don't know, maybe some of you guys got it. I don't know. It says, if we have been planted, buried, if we have been planted in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. I can walk in newness of life now because of what he has done. I can walk as a son of God. I can walk in the power and in the glory. I can walk by the Spirit. I am no longer in bondage to the fear of death and everything else that goes on in this life. You and I are free because of what he has done. My life's completely different than what it was. Completely. I got peace. In the middle of chaos, I have peace. And so do you. We have this because of what he did. And we can walk in that newness of life. And we are going to be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man, our sin nature, that nature that we were born with, Adam's nature, is crucified with him. See, this it's a total identification. He was your substitute. You belonged on the cross. You belong suffering for the sins. You should have been able, but it wasn't acceptable to God because you weren't holy to begin with. It wasn't an acceptable offering if you were to suffer. He had to send an innocent one. An innocent one had to die. There's no way. It's not by works of righteousness, but by his grace alone. That's what we say. You couldn't suffer your way into this. I remember, you know, ministers and friars and all, they beat themselves to, you know, show their holiness. Doesn't matter. You beat yourself to death. It doesn't matter. You can't pay for yourself. You can't. He had to do it because he was the innocent one. So let me keep going here. Our old man is crucified. It's not past, it is right now crucified. It's been hung on the cross with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth that we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. If you died on the cross like he died, you are freed from the sin of Adam, of this great and terrible old nature. Not talking, do you sin? I sin. You know, that's why in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord says, forgive us our trespasses. In 1 John 1:9, it says that if we sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. This is not talking about your little individual sins. This is talking about the one that betrayed God, that sold mankind out to the devil, that sold the planet and God's plan. Adam's sin, the sin. For he that is dead is freed from that catastrophe. Now, if we be dead with Christ, with him, we believe that we shall also live with him. Do we believe it? See, this is the issue for you and me. This is the issue between our freedom and bondage, is your faith in what the Lord has done. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more, and death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Same thing for you and I. We live unto God now. Likewise, you do this. Likewise, you reckon. That old word, I reckon. Reckon. You set it in order. You put it in the account. You add it up. You reckon this. You yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. You have to reckon it. You have to set it in order. You have to add up the columns. I used to call addition figuring. I do my figures. That's what my grandmother used to say. You got to do your figurings. We reckon it. I have to think about it. I have to decide. I have to make it my business to accept this truth. And I have to add it up in my heart and mind. Then it's mine. And you don't let it go. You don't let it go. He was innocent. And he gave me that innocence. He was righteous, and he gave us that righteousness. He was just before God, and he gave us justification. He was pure, and he gave us that purity. Now, I have to reckon the old man dead and myself alive unto God. Now, you don't have to. You can still live in your old nature. You can be just as you know, you've seen Christians turn from, I'm not doing this anymore, and they go right back to where they were. In fact, they end up worse. But are you going to reckon it? Are you going to set it in your soul, your heart, and not allow yourself to be talked out of this? You know, none of us is guaranteed tomorrow. Maybe not this afternoon. I got glory in front of me. This is important stuff to set in your soul right here today. I love it. Likewise, reckon you yourselves also to be dead indeed to sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ the Lord. Let not their sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. You don't allow it. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Act like you have been risen from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. It won't overtake you. Does it still bother you? Yes, but it won't have dominion It won't rule. For you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know you not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servant you are to whom you obey, whether to sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being that made free from sin, Adam's sin, you became servants of righteousness. You're freed from it. You were dead. Consider yourself alive unto him. Consider yourself raised, a new man. Walk in newness of life. Charge yourself. Set it in your soul. Don't allow yourself to be talked. Your destination is glory. If you keep your head wrapped around that, the rest of this, yeah, I got new life. I am a son of the living God. I am a child of God. God is my Father. What did God say to us today in the manifestations? It was really simple. I'm your Father. I love you. Will you keep it in your soul? Will you walk down the street like you are a child of God? Will you choose that? Will you be happy in the middle of all this bull that goes on in life? Or are you just going to be, woe is me? You see people like this all the time. What's reality? This is what I identify with. This is who I am. This is what I choose to believe. Or are you just a washed up dish rag? What's your choice? I mean, I could have come up with a different analogy, but that was good enough. Yeah, I'm just putting along here in life. You know, and you say to somebody, well, what's going on? Oh, nothing, just watching TV. Your destination's glory. Glory. And if you even just, that'll make you smile. This is how we identify. He did it, therefore it's done for me. He was raised, I will be raised. He was crucified, my body was crucified on the cross. It paid. He was my substitute. He did everything for me. He did a complete, absolutely perfect job. There's nothing more that I can do. I can't add to this, and I certainly shouldn't subtract from it. But there's nothing more that you can do. You can pray 22 hours a day, and it doesn't change the fact that you're sanctified. You can pray a half hour a day, and it doesn't change the fact that you're sanctified. You're sanctified because of what he did. But you do need to maintain the faith. You do need to reckon it and choose to walk in the newness of life. Because if you really believe something, you do it. That's what you do. You got any questions about identification? Now it's a classroom. You got a question about it at all? Boy, nobody's going to take the plunge, huh? I did such a perfect job. There's not a single question. I find that hard to believe. But You know, I saw this beautiful verse. We're going to close here. It could, if I did the teaching a completely different way. I remember when I mentioned the, go to Revelation chapter 7. Remember when I mentioned that wedding feast where the Lord had clothed them and he gave them garments? See, God is the one who sent his son. You believe, you put on that righteousness. He put it on you. He transferred it to you. He took your sin and he gave you his glory. He took your sin, he gave you this purity before God. John McCabe can't get into the kingdom on what John McCabe has done. I'm not worthy. You're not worthy. But I know I am not worthy. I've reckoned that. The only way I'm getting in is if I believe he did it for me. In Revelation chapter 7, it talks about Revelation chapter 7. In verse, we're going to start reading here. In verse 10, it says, "And cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders of the throne, of the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes?" What are these people that are arrayed in white robes? "And whence came they?" Where'd they come from? "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest." It's always good to say that. "Well, you know, I don't." "And he said unto me, These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." See, that's what makes you pure. When you wash in his blood, that makes you pure, righteous. That puts you in front of the throne. "Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in the temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." When our Lord clothed us with Holy Spirit, talks about that he clothed us with Holy Spirit, talks about clothing us with righteousness, talks about in Isaiah chapter 53 that he was the one who was that sin offering, and he took on us all the sins of mankind, and it was an acceptable offering unto God. A truly beautiful, acceptable offering. It paid the debt. And all of that he had, the Son of God, now you have got God in Christ in you. You are the temple of the living God. And God doesn't dwell in dirty places. He cleaned it out. He is the one that's made you righteous. He is the one who has made you worthy. He is the one that decided to love you, and therefore you are loved. You and I need to just believe this truth. That's our mission. That's what we got to do. So that's what I wanted to share with you.